Well, I'm leaving all my little stuff down there in case you get bored of me. You can just take a glance over there and see what's going on. But yeah, we are the Schaefers. We have been serving in Alliance Missions for almost 30 years. And this church has sort of been woven into our DNA because we were married here 30 years ago, and you have followed us, supported us, encouraged us, prayed for us, and actually been home to us on our home assignments, and we thank you. Andrew was sharing about our family, but this is really home church for them here in Carlisle at this church. And so we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning with you and to share what God has laid on our hearts about our work in Burkina Faso, to sort of give you a report, hopefully, that will encourage you as you give to Alliance Missions, supporting the hundreds of missionaries that are working around the world, as in the video that you saw. So, I'm just going to tell you very honestly, let's speak the truth, right? That I have a great fear of the dark. Now, you would think at 63 years of age that that would be over, but I really do not like the dark. I almost go paranoid when, you know, that fear grips you, and maybe you have something that you're afraid of. Thankfully, I'm not afraid of snakes or spiders, so my husband might contend that a little bit, but I do not like darkness. I'm the person that sleeps with like two flashlights by the bedside in case the batteries aren't working in one, you have the other. When they first came out with the flashlight and the cell phone, like, I signed up, yeah, that's great. It's just, I don't know. So when I first arrived in Burkina Faso, I was asked to go and help. There was a woman who had delivered a baby. It had not gone well. She was losing a lot of blood. And would I go and see if I could get her stabilized so that she could be moved to where we had a better hospital? And so I found myself at night in a broken down truck, so to speak, and with two men on either side of me, and I couldn't speak to either one of them. We had no common language, and I was sort of cramped in the cab of this two-person cab truck, and off we went in the dark. And like, the headlights on the truck are dim, and I go into one of my panics, like, oh my goodness, my heart is beating. You know how you get that like dry mouth and you just are shaking all over? I don't know what these two guys thought they had got in their truck with them, right? Finally, we get to this place, I guess it's a village or whatever. They guide me into this hut, and they sort of take my hand, and I'm feeling along on the ground. I come to the mat, and then I feel blood just everywhere around this woman. And so I put my ear down to see, is she still alive? I hear a baby crying, so I know, okay, the baby's okay, but is this woman still alive? And thankfully she was, but there was no light. There wasn't a thing I could do. I had a bag of IVs and some other things I could do to help her. You can do none of that if you can't see. And so I sat there, scared to death in the darkness. The Bible gives us pictures of what life is like for people who do not know the Lord Jesus. And darkness is one of them. And it's a picture that speaks to me because I don't like the dark. And it's what motivates us to go to a country like Burkina Faso and shine the light of Jesus Christ. Because we know, we are convinced that there is no light apart from the Lord Jesus. Do you believe that? No light apart from the Lord Jesus. So, you know, if we just give a quick overview of the Bible, we start in Genesis, right? Genesis 1, God says, let there be light. He knew this world without light was no good. We needed light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. If we move into the book of Psalms, it says there, it talks about people in Psalm 107, and it says there, some sat in darkness and deepest gloom. There's a picture, right? Darkness brings what? Deepest gloom. Without light, it is dark. There, it's gloomy. And we sit. We can do nothing. One of my favorite verses, you know it, Isaiah 9:2, one that's written on the tombstone of a missionary woman from the 1800s who went to Nigeria, wonderful mission, a missionary, and the people themselves wrote on her tombstone, the people who walk in darkness, what? Will see a great light. And then, of course, you know I'm going to John 1, right? Hello, are you there this morning? John 1 says, the Word gave life to everything that was created. Listen, and His life brought light to everyone. Have you experienced that light? Oh, yeah. Are you with me this morning? We have. We know that light. But listen, the light shines in the darkness. Here's our hope. And the darkness can never extinguish it. And so here we have the light that's come into the world, which is the Lord Jesus. And we have this darkness given all kinds of pushback, and we're going to overcome that light. Here is the promise. The darkness will never extinguish it. If you move ahead, right? Yeah, you're there. You're on your app or whatever, making sure she's not heretical up here. John 8, right? What does Jesus say? One of the I Am, we did this as a family. We were together 7 days, and each day we took a different I Am of that Jesus said. And here He says what? Huh? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. But now, if you go back to Luke, oh, this woman, could she pick one place and just stay there? Luke chapter 23, we have the death of Jesus, Luke 23:44. By this time, it was about noon, and what happens? Uh-oh, there's no wrong answers in this gang, right? By this time, it was about noon, and darkness fell across the earth. So here is the light of the world, and darkness is falling on the earth. How can that happen? So the picture that the Bible gives us is what? Jesus is light, but when He died on the cross, He took all of our darkness on Himself. He who never knew darkness, who never knew gloom, who never knew, you know, just that evil that comes from sin and bad stuff. And if you're messing around with darkness, if you're looking at stuff that you know does not please the Lord Jesus, leave it alone. Because you might be opening yourself up to darkness, and it is a strong force. You run to Jesus. You run to Jesus. He took all of our darkness on Himself so that we could walk in the light. And that is the message that we take to Burkina Faso. We know these two powers are at work. Have we seen that here in the U.S. in the last couple months, right? The darkness and the light and the darkness and the light. And there's these two forces at work. And when you send us to a country like Burkina Faso, you are sending light. You are sending hope. You are sending that light that shines for guidance and encouragement and kindness and goodness and all those things that the Lord Jesus is. We visited a village. We had heard about this village because we had a deaf team that visited us. And so we had heard about a village where there was a church and it had deaf people in the church, but nobody knew how to sign with them. And so we visited that church, and when they understood that we had people with us that were deaf, they couldn't believe it. They thought they were the only deaf people in the whole world. They never had a clue that there was anyone else that didn't hear. And they thought somehow God's curse was on them and on their village. And so Sunday after Sunday, they would come to church because of a grandmother or because of an aunt or because of a relative who would bring them to church. They never understood a thing. There was nobody that could sign. There was nobody that could explain the Lord Jesus to them, except without some very, you know, simple gestures. And so when our team got up and they did this amazing presentation, which was both skits and, it was like drama, but signing what the name of Jesus, who Jesus is, showing them a picture of the cross and signing the cross for them, explaining who God is and that he sent Jesus to love them. It was unbelievable. It was literally like a light bulb came on. And they just looked at these guys on our team, just in awe. Is that really who Jesus is? Is that really what Jesus did for us? Are we really loved by God? The light shines in the darkness. We had a young woman come to our Bible school. And through a number of very strange situations, she ends up married to one of our pastoral students. But she did not know the Lord Jesus. At a very young age, she was given in marriage to a demon, if you can imagine it, that your family would marry you off to a demon. She was haunted day and night. She hated to go outside. She loved staying in her little dark room. When she would come into class, she'd sit in the back with her face against the wall, always head down, never talking to me, never answering a question. And so I said to her husband, I want her to go everywhere that I go. And I began to talk to her, and I began to tell her about Jesus. And I said, Martine, just say the name of Jesus. Just cry out to him. He will remove you from this darkness. But, you know, it was like having a cloud with me wherever I went. It was just like the darkness was hanging on to her and hanging on to her. No matter how we prayed and how much she cried and asked God for deliverance, that darkness was there. And I remember one day a Bible study. I don't know what I did. Some stupid, dumb thing. Did I trip, which hopefully I won't do here today? Did I drop something, say something backwards? Everybody breaks out laughing, and I look over at her. She has a little smile on her face. And on the way home in the car, I said to her, Martine, I saw you smile. And she sort of looked down, a little bit shy, and looked at me, and she began to laugh. No more wonderful sound when the light of Christ finally breaks through and ends the darkness. And there just automatically comes that joy. Automatically that cloud is lifted and you can smile and you can love and you can do good. That's what the light of Christ is like. The light of Christ. Looking for people in darkness, we're out on the streets at night, way out of my comfort zone. We go to an area where the prostitutes, young gals who come out trying to earn money to get through school, some of them abandoned by their families, just trying to earn money to stay alive, and we are there. We are talking. We are praying with them, and we are shining the light. We are claiming areas of our city for the light to shine. You know, as I'm sitting by this woman, and I know, boy, every second is mattering to her. She's continuing to bleed. It's all darkness. There's nothing I can do. And the Bible talks about people waiting in darkness. All of a sudden, we see a glimmer of light. And this man comes, and you see his shadow in the door, and he's holding a lantern. Oh my goodness. And it was like in that minute, the fear is gone. I can see the people around me. I see, yeah, okay, they're friendly. And another lantern comes and they come up and I can quickly get an IV into this woman and pour some fluids into her and stop the bleeding as best as I can. And a few minutes later, we're helping her to get into the truck so we can take her where there is help. But you're sitting in darkness and suddenly the light comes and it's such a picture for me. Who hates the dark. And what a difference the light of Christ can make. We have no idea how many people are sitting in darkness. I remember one time we were doing door-to-door one afternoon. We walked into a courtyard and I start talking about Jesus and I had some of my little pictures and this old man comes out of one of the rooms of the courtyard and he comes over and he sits. And finally, after I'd blah, blah, blahed for a long time, he says, are you talking about Jesus? I said, yeah, I'm talking about Jesus, the Son of God who came. And he says, you know, a long time ago, somebody like you came into our village. And there was another man and me, and we prayed. We prayed to accept Jesus. We didn't really understand what it was about. And so every once in a while, I mean, that man left and we would pray together. The man who had come told us to pray in the name of Jesus. And so we started doing that. But nobody came to tell us more. And he said, and after a few years, that man who was there in the village with me, he died. And so I just figured, well, it must not have been anything too serious, too important. And he said, all these years, 30, 40 years, I've never met somebody talking about Jesus till today. How many people waiting? Maybe they've heard the name, never understood it. There's only one light for this world. Do you believe that, right? Yes. Only one light. And we have to go and we have to tell. We sang this old song, Doug knows it, right? There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. And there's another verse to that song and it starts out, let us not grow weary in the work of love. And we've been doing alliance missions. I mean, he calls my husband a young man. I want to hear what he says about me. Come on. But we've been doing alliance missions for a long time. Burkina Faso, wow, almost 100 years. And maybe you're shining light. Maybe you have somebody you just have been praying for a long time, and that darkness is holding on. And you can get tired. You can get weary. You can say, oh, come on. We've done this enough. I had that feeling, oh, yeah, well, this is true confession time, right? Your missionary, she's up there, wow. But we do a ministry at our hospital, and we go in the afternoon, 1 to 3. Those are visiting hours. We could get permission for other times, but we want to just follow the rules. And so we go from 1 to 3, Wednesday afternoon, Burkina Faso. Temperature in the shade is probably 100 or so at that hour. It's the hottest time of the day. I'm on the radio in the morning, Wednesday mornings. I teach a class. I'm tired. And Wednesday afternoon comes, and it's like, oh, yeah, drag myself. And this Wednesday, I was just tired. Everything had gone wrong. Everything was like a mess. The last thing I want to do is to go to this hospital. I get there. I'm still doing a lot of pushback. I'm thinking, let my team just go. And they're like, no, come on, come on. And so we started walking through the wards of this hospital, the pavilions where they have patients according to what is wrong with them. And we took a different route, not the one we normally did. You know this story, right? And this guy who I sort of knew from a store saw me, said, my child, my daughter is very sick. Would you come and pray for her? She's over in the pediatric ward. So we left where we were and we took the long walk over. And we walk into this room. Oh my goodness. You can't imagine it. But maybe you see pictures on TV. But yeah, there's maybe like 14 beds. Kids are crying. Kids are sick. IV bottles are empty. A lot of burn children because they get too close to the mom's cooking fire. The smell. It's just, oh, come on, really? The cockroaches, really? And there's sort of like the food and the urinal or whatever you call bedpan all sort of laying there together. There's kids on the floor because there aren't enough beds. Parents are there. Wow. And then I saw it. A little girl who had already died. And the sheet is just pulled up over her head and her parents are sitting there. And I'm like, no, you can't leave a dead child in this room. Think of all the other children that are there and the parents desperate. How does this happen? And so, very unmissionary-like, I walked out. It was like, I've had it. That's enough for me. I'm like past it, okay? And I found a tree outside, and I sort of tried to hide behind it and just said to the Lord, it's enough, enough. I can't take this anymore. And wouldn't you know, come on, the dad of that little girl followed me out. And he says, are you a Christian? What gave it away? My big Bible, my clothes with the church material. I said, yes. He said, you know, a guy like you came to our village. 3 months ago, our family accepted Christ. Oh, my goodness. And then our little girl got sick, and we went from here and to there, and they finally sent us here to the city. We don't know anyone here. We have no money, no phone. The only thing we can do is to tie that dead child on her mother's back and we'll start the long walk towards home. Wow. If you don't think, I was so thankful to be at that place at that time. Well-resourced, well-connected. Within a few minutes, there was the pastor from a church who took over. There was a car. There was money. There were phone calls. There were some young men from the church to dig the grave for this little girl. I would have given anything, any hardship, any trouble, any separation from family, any difficulty, to be there at that moment for that family. And to be able to shine light and kindness and goodness into their dark, crashing world. And that's what light is. You know, we are light. We are light. And you'll see in your own life how God just brings you to these dark circumstances or people that are going through dark situations. And you send us to Burkina Faso to shine that light. The book of Revelation. Well, yeah, we got to end there, right? Revelation 21. She needs to get new glasses this week, and I promise to do it before we go back. Revelation 21, verse 22. This is John's vision. He says, I saw no temple in the city. I am going to that city. Right? Uh-oh, you're looking at me like, where is she going? I am going to that heavenly city, right? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We don't need a temple there because there is our Heavenly Father. There is the Lord Jesus. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city and the Lamb is its light. Isn't that a great promise for us, especially us who hate the dark? Am I the only one here or what? The nations will walk, and it is because of you. You're sending your commitment to missionaries and missions and going. The nations, wow, will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Listen up, huh? Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day. Why? Because there is no night there. Boy, that day is coming. It's like we're just racing towards the end of the world as we know it. And more than ever, our message must be clear. Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. Those who know the Lord Jesus will walk in that light. It is the message that we take to Burkina Faso, that we go to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus. And you pray for us because we do get weary. We do get tired. You pray. No matter what, the Schaeffers will shine brightly in Burkina Faso for the Lord Jesus. Our prayer is that all peoples will see the light, walk in the light, and be in the light of the Lord Jesus. Thank you.